let's talk about our Strengths Finder results. Which of your strengths is your favorite, and which strength do you wish you could add to your top five?
Okay, so my number one is both my favorite and my least favorite in some ways. My number one is belief, which is kind of awesome. I mean, I kind of love that I'm an idealist and that there's a part of me that just wants the best in every situation, believes the best is even possible in every situation. And I think, of course, belief being number one has led to just really my strong faith in Christ. So I love it for that reason. But I also hate it for that reason because I can become disillusioned really, really fast. Yeah. And also it sometimes is strange me from other people, which leads to the one that I wish was on my list, which is woo.
Oh no.
Woo. I wish I had woo. It's fun to say.
It is. Woo. Woo.
But also it's that thing, you know, that's charming to other people and things like that. And none of mine on my list make me the least bit charming.
I think you're charming. But I, you know, probably because you believe in me.
That's it. Now, we have one alike, which is input, but what's your favorite of yours and what do you wish you had?
Of all of mine, my favorite is ideation. Input is my number one, but my middle one is ideation. And I love that because that's my creative one. That's where I can combine things and see different ideas and put them together. I don't have woo, and that's the one I desperately wish I had. But when I do my ideation well, people go, wow. And wow is kind of close to woo. It's not quite the same thing. And sometimes they go, wow, you thought of that? And then I go back to the drawing board. But woo just must be the thing that we would all pay for if we could. Like, I'd sell everything I own if I could actually then use the money to buy woo. I'd probably even sell everything you own if I could buy some woo.
Definitely everything Daniel owns.
Oh, definitely. I'd clear out the garage for some woo.
Well, we have a listener that feels the same way. She says, I feel like I have to be everything for everyone. See, she wants woo.
Yes.
Like I'm the only one that knows how to do things properly. That is not so woo-ish.
No.
And then I eat up the attention to make up for how unworthy and inadequate I feel. Mm. I don't want to be this way, but it seems to be a vicious cycle. And oh my goodness, I think this listener has the same gift in quotation marks that I have, which is overdeveloped responsibility. But it's terrible how over-responsibility almost always leads to inadequacy, feeling like we're fresh out of amazing. Mm. So I'm glad Stacy's going to give us some relief today.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're talking to Stacy Thacker. Stacy is a wife and mother of four girls. The author of six books, she's also a Bible study teacher with a passion to connect with women and encourage them in their walks with God. You can find her blogging at stacythacker.com and hanging out on Instagram and Twitter at Stacy Thacker, usually with a cup of coffee in her hand.
So if you feel like everyone expects you to be amazing, but you've got nothing left to give, Stacy is here to remind us all of God's mercies and point us back to the truly amazing one.
Well, Stacy, we're so glad you're with us. Tell us why you wrote Fresh Out of Amazing.
Well, Fresh Out of Amazing, I like to call it my come out of hiding story. It's just my story in print. A few years ago, I wrote a blog post called Me, Steve Jobs, and Being Fresh Out of Amazing. And I had said these words that I was feeling fresh out of amazing for the first time, like in print on my blog, after reading the letter that Steve Jobs wrote when he resigned. In his letter, he said he felt like he wasn't meeting people's expectations. And I read that as a stay-at-home mom of little kids. And I felt like, wow, I feel like I'm not meeting expectations of anyone in my life, but most certainly of my own expectations. And it just really resonated with me. And so I wrote this blog post that then turned into years later, the book that we're now discussing, that term fresh out of amazing really resonated with my readers. I took a little detour before this book and wrote two other books for moms called Hope for the Weary Mom and Hope for the Weary Mom Devotional. So once I got back to this message to really dive into what it was about, the Lord, he really opened the door for me to show me that this was a come out of hiding story for me that really I needed to write. He wanted to speak some truths over my heart. And apparently it encouraged women along the way as well. So
I love that description that it's a come out of hiding, because Amy has a serious problem with hiding. So I'm glad you're on with us today.
Oh, this is exciting already.
No, you said the word expectations and we both began to sweat, because there's only two words that we use all the time on this podcast, expectations and control. So hopefully you won't use the C word, because you've already used the E word.
I can't promise that I'm not struggling with that as well. So
I've been enjoying reading your book, and you open it with a completely unusual story. Like, I've never seen a book for Christian women opened with the story about Ezekiel and the dry bones. So talk to us about why this was such an important story to you that you chose to use it to start the book.
I'll confess a little bit in my writing journey. I don't know how you all feel about writing, but first chapters are really hard. And so I had rewritten this chapter so many times, and I was so exasperated, and I had come across the story of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel, for those that don't know and don't spend a lot of time in the book of Ezekiel, which probably you don't, it's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was a prophet, and God was speaking to him. He had a vision where God took him to this valley of dry bones, and God began to ask the questions. And he said to Ezekiel, he said, "Hey, Ezekiel," this is my paraphrase, of course, "can these dry bones live?" And I remember reading that going, that's exactly how I feel. Like, I just want to, can I live through this feeling of being fresh out of amazing? And I just felt like those dry bones that God was speaking and showing Ezekiel was such a picture of my own heart that I just felt very dry. I felt I'd come to the end of myself. And I'm a visual person. And so that visual of these bones on the ground that God then said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy. I want you to speak these words over these bones, and I'm going to breathe life into them. And I just thought, that's what I need. And it was just, to me, such a great visual of what God's word can do, that it can resurrect our hearts, it can restore us and renew us, and that nothing is impossible for God. Like, if God can take dry bones and turn them in, they ended up turning into an army before Ezekiel's eyes, that he can resurrect my own heart as well. And it's through the power of his word. And so that's really where that story, I just gravitated to it. It didn't even occur to me that it was kind of an odd place for a book for Christian women. You know, it wasn't a warm, fuzzy story, but it so depicted kind of how my own heart felt. And so I love that story. I love the visual. And more importantly, I just love that God spoke and the dry bones came alive. I think that's just a powerful picture for us.
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. Well, you talk about five types of fresh out of amazing girls, kind of five routes to the same dead end. And so the first one is the girl who's burdened and busy. And I thought this was so wonderful. You and Amy share responsibility as one of your top strength finders' strengths. So I know I've already thrown Amy under the bus, but this podcast would not survive without her. Like, we are partners for a reason. So I'm just curious, from your perspective, how has responsibility been both a strength and, then you said, a weakness of epic proportions?
Well, responsibility, I mean, it sounds great, right? I mean, don't you love responsible people? Like, everybody loves the responsible girl. And in that chapter, which I highly, highly identify with, we talk about the poster child for responsibility, Martha. Like, you know, everybody loves to just dog on Martha, but let's just be honest, she was the responsible one. I think she had the strength of responsibility. And I feel like she a lot of time gets kind of a bad rap because she was doing the things. I mean, she's cooking for 13 people, you know, probably more than that. And her sister wasn't helping her, you know. So, but I feel that deeply. I feel like all the things in all the ways I am responsible to take care of and to fix, and to make sure everyone's happy and fed and everyone's doing the things they're supposed to be doing, and that I'm in the place doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So I think it's great, because I think I get a lot of stuff done. But I also feel like it is the fastest way to being burned out and overwhelmed. I probably, out of all these ways that we talk about in the book, burdened and busy is the one that sits in my life a little more frequently than the others, that I'm always chasing that outside of my heart and going, okay. And I love the message from that chapter is that we can be busy, but we don't have to be burdened by it. Jesus didn't say, hey, Martha, you shouldn't be doing these things. He just said, you know, Mary made a better choice in this moment. And she just missed that opportunity in the midst of her busyness to find a moment where she could worship Christ too. And I think that's possible, but I think sometimes it's a hard journey to get there. So
I like that distinction. You can be busy, but doesn't have to be burdened. Mm-hmm. We're always talking about the weight we feel on our chest, mm-hmm. that heaviness, mm-hmm. that burden. All right. Well, mm-hmm. then the second type of fresh out of amazing girl is the one who she's amazing and I'm not.
Oh, comparison.
I can barely even say that without giggling. So you had this interesting phrase. You said Christ-controlled comparison can lead to imitating a life that pleases God. Unpack that for us. That's intriguing.
Well, that story came out of a story that I shared about my daughter. My oldest daughter's a dancer, and it was a really unique situation where they were dancing in a studio that didn't have mirrors at first. And so she would just watch her instructor, her mentor, the woman that she learned from. And everything was great. Everything was wonderful. But they moved into a studio that had mirrors, and suddenly she started watching all the other girls who didn't look like her, who didn't quite dance like her. It just crushed her spirit. And as we were talking through that story, I thought, you know what? When God puts people in our lives that we can imitate, that are walking with Christ, that we can look at their walks and we can say, there's something about that person that I want to imitate because I see Jesus in her. Hopefully it's a woman or someone that's a little farther down the road from us. But often what happens is we tend to look at the people we're running beside and we're like, oh, what she has is so much better. She's doing it better. And then therefore it must mean I'm doing it wrong. And so that comparison can destroy us. But if we look for things in the lives of other women that show Christ, instead of like wanting to be like her, we want to be like Christ instead. I think that's where the freedom comes. And in that story, I talk about Leah and Rachel, two women who, oh my word, girlfriends compared themselves to each other left and right. It ended up in a lot of brokenness. I mean, God redeemed it, of course, because that's what he does. But I think as women, I honestly think one of the number one lies women believe is comparison. I see that in my life, in my girl's life, and the women I lead. Such an important part of the conversation and definitely a way to fresh out of amazing for sure.
Well, number three is I feel like my dreams have died. And you encourage us to pour out our hurting hearts to God, even if we're admitting that we're mad at him. And that is really hard for people pleasers. We're used to trying to bring cheerful for everyone. So why is it so important to be honest with God?
Well, I think part of it is he knows anyway. I think it's part of being honest, not just with God, but with our own heart, to just that moment of surrender, is that we have to realize that we have a loving and tender Father who loves us so much and wants to take our broken places, and he wants to birth something new out of it. And in that story about Hannah, we see her just broken before the Lord. And it was in that moment that God met her and began to do a work in her life that she couldn't even imagine what he was going to do through her story. She thought it was done, that my story was over, that there was no hope, and God entered that place. And I think once we pour it all out and we come, I think that's the moment of really coming to the end of yourself. That's where God has that amazing, beautiful, that's where he begins, right? And so it's such a good word for all of us to realize that sometimes when our dreams die, it's not because we've done anything wrong necessarily. It's because God has a bigger story he wants us to live for him.
Oh, that is so good. So number four is Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire. I love that title. People pleasers often believe others too readily and give others too much authority in their lives. So what's one of the biggest lies that you see women believing?
Well, we talked about comparison. That's definitely one. I think one of the lies that women often believe is this, that other people are doing better, more important things. I don't matter. What I'm doing isn't good enough. I think we often accept the labels that we think. Now, I'm not saying that people say this, but we think people are thinking of us. We think people are going, oh, well, she's this or she's that. And the enemy gets in our brain and says, hey, this is what other people believe about you. So it must be true. In the story in that chapter, it's about the woman at the well who was hiding in the middle of her life because she had some things in her life that were hard. And so she was hiding. And so when she encounters Christ in this most beautiful, probably one of my favorite stories in scripture, where she encounters Jesus and he just one by one takes down those lies and shows her truth. With truth, he takes down those lies. And I just think as women, we have got to go to truth when we're believing lies. And I think we can even ask friends, hey, what lie do you think I'm believing? Mm-hmm. And she'll tell you. I think you might have just told each other. The lie, I feel like Sherry just said, hey, Amy, maybe this way. You know, I think that's we need to do that for each other with grace. Yes. And gentleness and truth, for sure.
That is such great advice about having friends in our lives that tell us what lies we're believing, though. There's a lot of grace in that. And Sherry and I do that.
Serve that with coffee and chocolate and you'll be fine.
It's part of the intimacy of a relationship. It's terrific.
Yeah. All right. So the fifth type of fresh out of amazing girl is when you've lost your song in the valley of bitterness. Now, this podcast is for reforming perfectionists and people pleasers, and then those of us who are highly sensitive people. And one thing about HSPs is that we tend to notice more. We feel things more deeply. Our highs, our lows are lower. And we tend to get told to just suck it up, buttercup. Mm-hmm, now, you share in Fresh Out of Amazing about a sudden, unexpected loss that you experienced. And so could you share with our listeners how Jesus met you early on in that season of shock and grief?
Mm-hmm, yeah. What's really interesting is when I had first started exploring writing Fresh Out of Amazing, I really didn't know what the book was about. And I'm not even kidding. Like the week I sat down to pray through it, I got a call that my dad had passed away suddenly. He had battled cancer for 5 years, but he had a pulmonary embolism and died suddenly. So it was something we weren't expecting in the framework of fighting cancer. We didn't anticipate this kind of goodbye. And so it threw me into a tailspin of grief. And very early on, one of my pastors said to me, he said, Stacy, just don't lose your song. And I remember thinking, because I'm a worship leader as well, and I remember thinking, I wouldn't lose my song. Like, what does that mean? But as I dove into that pit of grief that is so common when you lose someone you're really close to, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find that reason to rejoice and to sing in the midst of that. And the Lord was so tender with me. He was so gracious, let me sit in that grief, but didn't leave me alone. Like Jesus met me in it as grief's patient friend. Like he suffered with me and sat with me in that. And I remember when I got back from my dad's funeral, I sat down, I have this big oversized chair that I meet with the Lord in. It's kind of my place to meet with him. And I just told the Lord, I said, I have never been more fresh out of amazing than I am right now. Here, I'm supposed to be thinking about this book. I can't write this book. I don't care to write this book. I don't want to do it. And the Lord, I promise you, whispered in my heart. And he said, Stacy, I'm so glad you finally realized this. And now is going to be my opportunity to minister to you. I want to show you how amazing I am. You don't have to be amazing because I'm already amazing. Mm-hmm. And so that is when he led me, which is the second part of the book, to the book of Habakkuk, which is another really strange place for the girls to go. But that book is where he marched me through those early days of grief and pain. I think in the grief process, it just exaggerated a lot of the feelings and the frustrations and the feelings of overwhelm that I had. It was like it magnified it. And I was able to see through scripture how God can walk us through it and show us in the end, we worship him because he's amazing, not because we are, but because he's worthy. And even if we suffer loss or our dreams die or we're not as famous or as special in others' eyes as maybe someone else is, that God is the one that we worship. He's worthy of our worship and that we can trust in that. And that can be our song. And so that was just how the Lord walked me through that. And that became the second part of the book. And, you know, and even just since those days of grieving, God has continued to reaffirm that message. And I love talking about Habakkuk and I love telling what God did through that crazy little book of the Old Testament in my heart. It's one of my favorite parts of the story as well. So
that's one of my favorite books of the Bible. Definitely my favorite book in the Old Testament. So that's great. Can't wait to dive into that. So, but you've got a new book coming out. So congratulations. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Well, when I wrote Fresh Out of Amazing, one of the things that I fell in love with was writing through scripture. There's a ton of different Bible stories in Fresh Out of Amazing, and I just fell in love with it. And when I looked at what I could do next, I was like, I just want to write through a book of the Bible. Like, I just want to take a book of the Bible and just see what it says and write through it. Like, not come to it and go, I want to say this, but I want the book to tell me what to say. And so the year after I wrote Fresh Out of Amazing, I did a book one. It was called The Girlfriend's Guide to the Bible, and it's on the book of Hebrews, which is my favorite favorite book of the Bible. And so that one is called Is Jesus Worth It? And that came out last fall. And then this fall, the second book in that series in the Girlfriend's Guide to the Bible is called When Grace Walks In, and it's on Ephesians. So it is book two. It's really like a girlfriend commentary almost. You can read it as a standalone book. You can study the book of Ephesians. It'll take you through 7 weeks of study. And it is just God pouring out his love and grace on us. I mean, I love Ephesians. It's such an encouraging book. So it's coming out in September, so September 4th.
Well, we can't wait. We can't wait to see it. So what closing words of encouragement do you have for our listeners today, Stacey?
I think about my story and I think of what God has woven into it is, first of all, there is so much mercy. I think that the lasting message that God gave me as I wrote Fresh Out of Amazing is tell the Fresh Out of Amazing girls that there's mercy and that he sits on a throne of grace, Hebrews tells us, to give us mercy and grace in our time of need. And so I just want to say, if you're in a place where you are fresh out, like you feel like you need to be amazing and you are fresh out, that we have a God who loves us, who is full of mercy for you in the season that you're in. And I think also the other thing I would say is don't be afraid to share your story. The stories in this book are deeply personal to me, but what I've seen God do is to take that story and birth a bigger story that he wants to use in the lives of women. It's okay to share your come out of hiding story. It's okay to be vulnerable because that's where people connect with us. And I would just say, if you're in that place, tell a friend, share with a sister, tell your Bible study, gather a group for coffee, and just know that God meets us in those places and does work that we can only dream or imagine.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode121.
There you'll find this week's transcript, our Digging Deeper download, the Bible verse art, and an explanation about how to enter this week's giveaway of Fresh Out of Amazing.
If you've enjoyed this episode of Grit and Grace, would you leave us a review on iTunes? You'll find instructions on the webpage for this episode.
And make sure that you join us next week when Sherry and I will be processing together what we learned from Stacy.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.
I love co-authoring. You feel like you have someone like, you know, running with you and you're never alone. I mean, writing's so lonely. The best part about that is you only have to write half the words. It's half the words.
Yes, indeed.
Or if your co-author's wordy, it's less than half.
Well, we're competition in the wordiness department.
I'm excited for you guys.